Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak and Beers.
Brother, this is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paladin.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host, Brad.
Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
Susie Q here with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Bass Fishing for Noobs here on the Paddle and Fin Podcast. I am your co-host, Sean. You guys will notice that Susie is missing again this week. She is still kind of recovering from her shoulder surgery. She's doing good, but wasn't quite feeling up to it tonight, so I figured I'd give her another week to heal up and get back. But she should be back next week. She was talking to me a little bit about a guest that she had in mind that I'm super excited about. So you guys can look forward to that. A little bit of housekeeping. We're coming up on the end of the August Noobs Tournament. So I wanted to give a quick recap. It's not quite official yet. It'll be official tomorrow. But as of right now, Jacob Constant is in the lead with 90.75 inches. Miss Regina Jones is in second place right behind him with 88 inches. I am in third place with 78.5 inches, but of course mine doesn't count. So Andrew Watson is in fourth right now with 72.5 inches. So if things hold that way, that'll be your top three. But we'll see. There's always a little bit of room tomorrow to make some moves. So if you're up there and want to try and get out tomorrow and catch a few fish before the end of the tournament, make sure you do that and get them submitted. But we'll see how things end up next for the end of August. And then for those of you guys, by the time this comes out, it'll be too late to enter. But hopefully most of you guys who want to get in on the September tournament will do so. We had 13, but we're still looking for more there as well. Usually we add on a couple more. I think Saturday the 3rd is the final date to get on for that. But if you're listening to this, it'll probably be too late. So hopefully you're out there signing up now. But anyway, we're looking forward to September. That will be the last Noobs tournament for this year. So after that, in October, we will look to have our kind of championship where we take the winners of each month this year and put them together along with the person who won in 2022 and see who comes out on top. So I'm looking forward to that. And thank you guys for your participation in the new tournaments again this year. We're super excited that we had a lot of participation again. So that pretty much covers all the housekeeping that I got to do. So I'm super excited to get to tonight's guest. I'm relatively new as a fan of his. I had been doing some YouTube and searching for some technique specific stuff, and I stumbled across his page. And I tell you what, I have not kind of stopped watching. He has a lot of great content out there, but we'll get to that. So without any further ado, I want to bring in and welcome Mr. Matt Stefan to the show. Is it Stefan or Stefan?
It's Stefan.
But you call me
Matt Stefan.
Sean, you call me whatever you want to call me.
Well, I'm going to stick with Matt. So
I feel like it's been a battle my entire life. So I probably should just switch it to Stefan, but it is Stefan.
Okay. Well, now that I know that, I will not mess that up again. I promise.
No worries.
Well, dude, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. I have become a super fan in a short amount of time. I don't know how many videos I've watched of yours in the past, probably 2 weeks, but it is a lot. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem, man. For the folks that aren't familiar with you, do you want to just let them know who you are, where you're from, and we'll kind of get a little bit of your background story, how you got into fishing and what brought you to where you are today?
Sure. Yeah. It's kind of a long story to get to where I am today, but basically I grew up in Chicago. I moved from Chicago up to central Wisconsin. I live in the Stevens Point area of Wisconsin. I worked a corporate job for 12 years. And while I was working that corporate job in the financial markets, I was fishing weekend tournaments pretty much every weekend of the summer, probably 25 to 30 events, traveling all over the upper Midwest, and did pretty well at it, to the point where I worked my way up to getting an invite to go fish some professional level events. So for the past 12 years, I've been fishing the what used to be the FLW Tour, now is the Major League Fishing Pro Circuit events. And for the last 7 years, I've been a full-time fisherman. So whether that's tournament related, doing some guiding, doing some YouTube, doing a little bit of everything. You know, the joke is that I'm a full-time truck driver because I feel like I'm driving everywhere. But the reality is, you know, that I've been making a living as a full-time fisherman for the last 7 years.
Well, that's pretty cool. Anytime you can, you know, kind of live that dream, man, I think that's awesome. So more power to you, man.
Cool. Yeah, it's a lifestyle that I absolutely love. But it's one of those things that it does take a lot of hard work to be able to make it a full-time gig.
And I know, so many times you hear people talk about that, how they kind of look up to you or not, like, oh, man, you're so lucky. But they don't realize the time and the effort and just kind of the exhausting days on the road and those kind of things that go along with that lifestyle and that choice. So, I've talked to enough people who get to live that out. And they definitely let me know that, you know, as much as, you know, it's easy to look from my side in and say, oh, man, that must be amazing, that there is a lot of hard work and energy and long, long days that go into it. So,
yeah, I wish it was show up and fish, but it's not show up and fish. There's a lot of the marketing aspect to it. There's a lot of the promoting of sponsors. And then, like I said, at this point, really, you know, to make it as a full-time, just straight tournament fisherman is really a difficult gig. You got to bring in the additional social media content. Some guys do some guiding, some guys do seminars. There's a lot of different things that kind of fill the role, but it's really difficult just to be a tournament fisherman now. You know, you got to rely on the sponsors and the other things, the other commitments that come with the sponsorship. So, it, you know, as much as you think it's just show up and fish every couple of weeks, the reality is you fish a few tournaments a year, but the rest of the year you're working your tail off for the sponsors or promoting in other facets.
Right, right. And probably not getting to fish as much as you'd really want to, I would imagine. I mean, that's got to cut into your time on the water.
it's funny because, everyone just assumes you fish every day. And the reality is that, you know, I do a lot of back end kind of paperwork type stuff just to get me to fish the tournaments that I want to fish. So it's, I'm not complaining by any means. Believe me. Like I said, I left a corporate gig and, I was not a happy camper during those years of working a corporate job. I was thinking about fishing pretty much every hour I was working that job. And it, you know, it paid well and it was a great job and the people were great. But the reality is I wanted to be fishing. So I devised a plan to make a full-time fishing gig out of, you know, the fishing industry. And so far, so good. It's been a great move. You know, financially, it's not been, you know, as good as working the old job. But it's one of those things where the older I get, the more that I want to pursue happiness versus, you know, kind of those monetary goals or, you know, those types of goals in life. So, you know, I'm just a much happier person. I feel more fulfilled at this point.
Nice, nice. That totally makes sense. And, you know, there'll always be trade-offs. But like you said, if you're doing what makes you happy, then at the end of the day, I think you're doing it right. Yep. So, and that kind of made me wonder how you got into YouTube or what made you start that or what you kind of looking to add to different things, or you just said, oh, you know what, I'm going to put some content out here and see what happens.
You know, Sean, it's funny because in my fishing career, I don't have that many regrets. One of the biggest regrets I have is not starting YouTube earlier. You know, I've only done it now. It's almost been 2 years. since I really kind of started it. I've had an account on YouTube where I was watching videos for a while, but really once I started putting effort into making content, it's been about 2 years. And I did it really because my primary sponsor, Bridgeford Foods, really stepped up, you know, and said, hey guys, you know, we, to the, all the, there's seven, I think seven or eight of us on the Bridgeford fishing team. And they said that they wanted us to make YouTube related content. Mm-hmm. And that didn't necessarily have to be on YouTube, but they were looking for videos. And, you know, Bridgeford is a huge part of my career. So I wanted to step up to the plate and do what I could to satisfy their needs. And I didn't expect it to go as well as it's gone by any means. You know, I set some goals that I surpassed really quick in the YouTube world for myself. And, you know, it's not that the channel is huge, but it's become a very big part of my career, where it's done a very good job at helping build my personal brand. And at the same time, it's just allowed me to reach people that I hadn't been able to reach through the tournament world. So therefore, you know, I just feel like I'm able to reach a lot more people, represent my sponsors well. And really what I've found is that I truly enjoy doing it. Like, you know, I've got two little boys now. I've got a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old, and I love to teach them fishing. And I kind of feel like I get the same feeling in a weird way doing my YouTube channel. Like I want to help people enjoy the sport that I love. And because of that, it's very rewarding for me. And I did not expect that when I set out to do it. But at this point, it's something that I truly love. I mean, I put out a fishing tip a day is basically what it is. And it's gone very well. I enjoy it.
I know. I was just thinking about the amount of content too. And like you said, you're pretty much post daily, and that in and of itself takes a lot of work. Just to take the time to, you know, record and have content to put out there daily. And but I really wanted to just compliment and echo what you're saying. I mean, you can tell that you're kind of a natural teacher because, you know, there are a lot of YouTube channels about fishing out there, but not a lot that genuinely show you exactly what you're doing or how to do things. And that's what, I mean, that's why I got into doing this show, is as much to learn, but also to then share the knowledge that I've gained and help get people into the sport and teach them the thing that I love and, you know, what gives me a ton of joy. And then to see people kind of, you know, learn from me as well. I know exactly what you're talking about and how that feels. So I just wanted to, you know, say that really comes through, I think, in your videos. And that's what really, as soon as I watched the first one, it's what drew me to it. And I was like, oh, dude, I have to have this guy on the show.
It's very rewarding. It really is. You know, I get a lot of messages from people who are like, you know, oh, I tried that retrieve, or I tried that bait, or I never knew how to, you know, work a bait in a certain manner, or just, you know, I get a lot of random messages and people are like, I caught my new personal best, or I went out and, you know, I fished a lake I've never had success on, and now I caught, you know, a pile of fish. And it really is very rewarding. It's funny though, because, you know, I do get a lot of kickback from some of my tournament buddies and other, you know, professional anglers that are like, I told you that secret. And I'm like, sorry guys. You know, at this point, I don't have any secrets on the channel. You know, I've fished tournaments. You know, when I graduated school, you know, I'm 42 right now, and I graduated in 2002, and I started fishing tournaments in college. It was not through tournament college fishing like we've got now. I was a little early for that, but it was, you know, that's when I started fishing tournaments. And for that first 15 years, you know, or yeah, 15 years or so, while I was fishing local tournaments in the first part of my professional career, I was so tight-lipped. I didn't want to spill the beans on anything, because I felt like every little thing that I knew gave me an advantage over the competition. And the reality is, like, at this point, you know, like I said, I've been fishing professional level events for 12 years. And I've just been so submersed in this world of fishing that what I've realized is everyone's got their own little secrets. The reality is most people already know those secrets. They just choose not to implement them into their fishing arsenal, or they just don't even know how to do it. I mean, it never ceases to amaze me how, you know, you can see somebody go fish a spot and it's like their favorite spot in the world. And then you go fish that spot and never catch a fish off of it. And it's just because everyone's got different approaches, different tactics. And just because a secret of mine is something that I think is valuable means it may not help somebody else catch a fish. But the reality is that, you know, I look back and I kind of chuckle at myself because I was so tight-lipped back in the day. And now I'm pretty loose lips on all these fishing tactics, but it really is just because I know every video I put out, it's probably not helping everyone watching the video. It may only be helping a few, you know, 5% of the people watching the video, but I feel like, you know, when that you do a video a day, that adds up, right? So if 5% of the viewers every day are learning something new, then that's helping people catch more fish.
Absolutely. And I think what a lot of people take for granted is, you know, that everybody out there who fishes has someone who will teach them how to, you know, what the cadence is for a jerk bait, or, you know, how to get a bait to bounce off the bottom, you know, all these things that, you know, like I never had growing up anybody that really taught me how to fish. Everything I knew up until I kind of really started, you know, reaching out and trying to learn as much as I could was self-taught, and I did a lot of things way wrong in trying to teach myself how to do it. And it wasn't till, you know, I started kind of getting into tournaments a little bit and got more kind of involved in the fishing culture that people would say, oh, I see you're doing this, and I'd ask them, oh, okay, well, what am I doing wrong here, you know? And so I think that's another reason why people are probably drawn to your content, because you really do break it down a little bit. You know, you don't take for granted that anybody knows certain things. You kind of go over from start to finish, you know, the rod you need and why you're throwing something on a certain rod, the action, you know, the line, what you need to make those techniques work. And that, I think, is really what people are kind of yearning for and don't always get at different places. So,
yeah, I try to be... You know, I come from a pretty similar background. I mean, I didn't come from a big fishing family. My dad fishes a lot now. My two brothers fish, you know, a few times a year. But I'm pretty much self-taught as well. You know, it was when I've just always been consumed with it. When I was a kid, you know, I got every Bassmaster, Fishing Facts, In Fisherman magazine that was out there and tried to read everything that I could and just gather all the information. And that's, I think that's one of the reasons why I probably approach the channel in the manner that I do. Cause I always try to just provide my thought process and why I'm doing something. And I know I get some kickback on it where people are like, oh, that's not right, or I disagree with you. But I feel like as long as I can provide a thought process behind the madness, right? My logic for doing what I do, it provides at least some background information. And, you know, it's my opinion. I don't ever, I probably have at some point, but I try not to come across on the channel as this is a finite thing that you have to do. You know, it's very much like, guys, this is something that I've learned. You know, I want to learn from you guys too. Am I right in saying this? Have you experienced similar issues or similar occurrences? Or is it just, you know, I had this one-off instance, but I very rarely try to come across as this is something that you have to take, you know, as a definite yes or a definite no. It always amuses me when I run into anglers or, you know, people in the fishing industry that have the exact answer for everything. Because the reality is we're dealing with little green or brown fish swimming around. And because it's a living creature, we don't, as much as we think we know about them, they can do whatever they want. So, you know, it's, I try not to come across as you have to do it this way. It's simply, hey guys, this is why I do it this way. this is my thought process. And if it helps you catch fish, then great. If you don't think it'll help you, then don't implement it. It's really not meant to be a yes or a no. And it always has kind of bugged me in the fishing industry when people are like, you have to do it this way. If you don't do it this way, you're wrong. And I really try to avoid that because, you know, them little fish swimming around too have their own mind and they can make us look like a fool real fast.
I was just going to say that the second you think you have it all figured out, those little brown and green fish with the tiny little brain will humble you and make you feel like you don't know at all what you're doing. So I could go from one day having the best fishing day of my life and then the next day skunk it up and be like, well, no, I thought I had it, but you know what? Back to the drawing board. So
if it was that easy, we would call it catching and not fishing.
You're right. You're right. No. But I was curious. I know you've talked on the channel a lot from what I've seen about your retrieve videos really being popular. And I kind of like, did just the first one just blow up and you're like, oh, I'm onto something here? Or how did that come about?
Yeah. So the first one has really done well. I mean, I've had a lot of them do well, but the feedback, you know, I've had some not do well. And when I say do well, I'm talking in the view from a viewing standpoint, but the feedback has just been overwhelmingly positive where individuals are asking me for additional baits to do retrieve videos on, but it's really meant to be, something that just helps people think out of the box a little bit and recognize that, you know, it's not simply cast and retrieve straight back to the boat. There's, you know, most baits will catch fish if you simply cast and retrieve straight back to the boat. But the reality is that if you can implement changes in your retrieves, changes in the cadence of the retrieve, that you can really increase the number of bites that you get. And you know, it's not as simple as maybe do this retrieve with a jerk bait. It's, hey, there are lots of different retrieves that work, but what I'm trying to express is the importance of creating erratic motion out of your bait. Because the reality is, like, my thought process is you have fish that either are hungry or not hungry. If they're hungry, they generally are going to bite really quick and no matter what you're doing. The majority of fish, in my opinion, are not in a hungry state of mind. And therefore, if they're not in a hungry state of mind, you have to do something with your retrieves to generate them to strike your bait. And that's generally going to be through some sort of erratic activity, you know, whether that's a burn, stop, a retrieve, or whether that's, you know, creating some additional types of jerks in the retrieve. But you're doing something to try to create that reaction strike out of the fish, because if they're not hungry, you gotta get their attention somehow, and you almost gotta trigger that natural instinct that they have of, oh, there's food getting away, I better eat that. Because, you know, if they're not in a hungry state of mind, they're not generally going to eat just because your bait's there. So I've you know, the retrieve videos are geared towards that. They're geared towards, hey, these are ways, you know, whether it's a lipless crankbait, whether it's a crankbait, whether it's a Texas rig, a jig. I mean, I've done a bunch of them at this point, but it's, hey, these are things you can do with this bait to help you increase those number of bites that you're going to get.
Right, right. And I know, I thought it was funny in a couple of your videos, you talk about apologizing for the title of the videos where you say 90% of anglers fish this incorrectly. And did you really get a lot of flack for that? Or I could see, you know, where some people would take that the wrong way.
It's one of the few things I don't like about YouTube right now is there's so much content out there that you almost have to be a little bit clickbaity to get people to choose your video over the 3,000 other videos that talk about the same thing. You know, the titles that I use, like you said, are like 90% of people use this bait wrong, whatever the bait is. And then, you know, try these retrieves is what I put after it. Mm-hmm. And I don't get that much kickback. You know, one of the things that I take some pride in with my channel is I try to respond to everybody's comment, which as the channel grows becomes much harder to do. But you know, so there, I get a handful, you know, when I say a handful, probably 4 or 5 people out of 100 comments or whatever, where guys are like, oh, this is straight clickbait titles. And I understand that there might be a little bit of clickbaitiness to it, but I try, anytime I use a title like that, I try to back it up with good, solid information. And, you know, the reality is like the video series, everyone is asking, a lot of people are asking for that type of video. So I've just used the exact same title. I replaced the bait name, you know, from chatterbait to jerkbait. And then I take a very similar thumbnail, and people really have also expressed that they appreciate that because they know when they see that thumbnail that it's going to be a retrieve video. So it's almost gotten to the point where it's just a series that I've created within my YouTube channel where I just want everyone to know that, hey, this is one of the retrieve videos that's coming out, and it's worked quite well. But yeah, there's been a few people that are like, oh, this title's clickbait. And, you know, I don't want to create clickbait. Like, my goal is not to create clickbait at all, but there's also something to be said for, you know, if you don't, YouTube is one giant algorithm.
Right. And I don't, it's spend completely much- algorithm driven. Yeah. So if yeah, you don't play to the algorithm, you're not going to do well.
Yeah,
it's pretty much.
I could create the best content in the world, but if it's not algorithm friendly, it's not going to reach anybody. So, you know, my goal is to help people catch fish. And if that requires me to kind of border on that line of clickbait sometimes, then I'm going to do it. Cause at least in my own perspective, I feel like I'm just getting people to watch the video, but I'm going to do it and help them at the same time.
Well, and I think as soon as one person or somebody watches one of those videos, they'll realize that it really isn't about that. It is about totally teaching you, you know, how to do that particular technique. So, like you said, if you can get them to start watching, then they'll quickly notice that, you know, what you're about and that it's not all about that. So,
yeah.
And I know I don't want to make it sound like that's all your channel is, because there's a lot of other content. There's a lot of, I like some of your most popular videos, like the In Your Rig was, I think, is your top video right now. And
it's one of the best. Yeah. I'm a tackle tinkerer. I love tackle. I've always loved tackle. I've pretty much made every type of tackle out there. The only thing I haven't done that I can think of is pour my own plastics. I mean, I've made every type of jig out there. I've poured every, you know, type of lead jig head type bait out there. I've tied all my own skirts. I do my own airbrushing. I build my own rods. I mean,
I was going to ask you about that too.
I've pretty much done everything that's out there except pour my own plastics. So I love looking at new techniques that have come out. I like looking at baits that are cool and unusual. And that's a lot of the stuff I do in the channel too. Like, if I find something that piques my interest, I love to share it. Like, I'll talk about it. I mean, and you know, I've got a couple of bait sponsors. I'm sponsored by Berkeley. I'm sponsored by Dirty Jigs. And, you know, between those two companies, they kind of cover most baits out there. But right. I take it upon myself to, you know, feel like as long as I'm presenting baits that, you know, are good, and, you know, I speak freely about it, what I really feel like is it gives me more credibility when I talk about my sponsors' baits, because I truly love Dirty Jigs baits. I truly love Berkeley baits, but I don't want to just be an infomercial. Like, I don't want to just sit here and talk about only Berkeley baits, because there are so many cool baits on the market that I want to talk about them. Like, I think I'd be a fool if I said that all the fans out there thought that we were professional anglers were only using sponsor baits, because that's not the case. I mean, the reality is we use the baits that we think will give us an advantage over the competition. And those are the same baits I talk about on my channel.
Right. And then, I think that is a very common misconception that, you know, oh, he's sponsored by Strike King and he only uses Strike King. And, you know, as I've talked to more and more professional fishermen, you find out, yeah, you know, I use their products. Well, yeah, I'm not going to probably, most people don't, usually represent a product that they don't believe in, hopefully. I'm sure it happens occasionally, but for the most part, everybody uses the products that they believe in, but also, you know, very rarely are they tied 100% to those products, you know. I'm happy to hear that you're kind of the same way there. And I think if you watch your channel, it really does speak to that too, because you really do, you know, kind of give a fair shake to pretty much everybody. So,
yeah, when you make a video a day, I've got plenty of opportunity to talk about sponsors. You know, at some point throughout those videos, I'll have lots of opportunities, but it also gives me a lot of opportunities to talk about other cool baits. Like I'm a tackle junkie, as you can see. And
I want to show my wife that, because she always busts on my stash, and I was like, you don't even know. It's mine is dwarfed in comparison to some of the tackle rooms that I've seen in.
I consider it like, if you're a electrician, you've got your tools. You know, if you're a plumber, you've got your tools. I'm a fisherman and I've got my tools.
I tell her that when about all the rods I have. She's like, why do you need 20 different rods? I'm like, well, you don't hammer in a finishing nail with a sledgehammer, you know? So,
yeah.
But all right, man. Well, I know one of the things I wanted to kind of pick your brain about, and you mentioned that you did a little guiding and stuff, and obviously through your channel, you've kind of brought a lot of instruction. When you're around new anglers, what are some common things that you see them doing wrong, or that I don't know how much correction you do, especially if you're guiding? I know, you know, I think like my personality would be, I want to learn as much from you as I possibly can, but would you have clients that are like, well, I'm going to do it my way, and you know, the heck with you.
You've got, you get a little bit of everything. You know, one of the biggest issues I think I see across fishing of anglers at all levels really is that, you know, there's that idea of the more information I can get from other people, meaning like more waypoints and more spots I can get, will make me a better angler. And I think it definitely can make some people better anglers. But the reality is, a lot of times, like I mentioned before, just because you have a spot or a waypoint doesn't make you a better angler. What makes anglers better, in my opinion, is understanding, you know, why they caught fish in a certain spot and then being able to replicate that. So I've always been a very big proponent of anglers kind of figuring it out on their own, because if you figure it out on your own, you have a much better shot of being able to replicate that down the road somewhere. And I do a lot of talks with high school anglers, a lot of talks with college anglers. You know, I get a lot of people in my local area, younger kids that reach out and they're like, I got a tournament on this local lake, can you give me some spots? And it's like, I can give you spots, but is that making you a better angler? So right. I may, you know, I'll point them in the right direction, but I'm always very careful to let them know why a spot is good, because I want them to be able to go do it on their own. Like I want them to be able to figure out why that spot's good and then replicate that. Because if you don't, you know, it's fishing. A spot can be the best spot in the lake one day, and the next day or 2 hours later, it can be void of any fish. And if you don't recognize what's causing that fish movement, it's not helping you just to have a waypoint. So I've always been a very big proponent of anglers kind of trying to figure it out on their own. And it's not just necessarily like baits, you know, oh, what bait should I use? It's a matter of, it's a whole ecosystem. Try to understand, you know, the forage that those fish are feeding on. Try to understand, you know, what type of plant growth they're hanging out around, or is there a certain, you know, weather phase that's coming in that's going to make the fish do things. So it's not as simple as, hey, just because you've got this secret bait, you're going to catch fish, or just because you've got somebody's best waypoint, you're going to catch fish. It's a matter of trying to take into account all of the different things that are changing throughout the course of the day to make an angler a better fisherman. Like that's, I think that's one thing that I can't stress enough to, you know, all of the younger kids that I talk to these days, that you got, you know, if you want to be a good angler, you got to understand why you're catching fish and be able to replicate that in future experiences. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times I've fished a tournament day somewhere and either caught them really good or did not catch them really good and learned from that experience. And 6 or 7 years later, I run into something where it's like, it clicks in my head and I'm like, holy cow, this is the same conditions I ran into 6 years ago when, you know, when I thought I had the winning pattern and I ended up zeroing or whatever it is, but now I know what to do. So I go and do it and I have a good day on the water because I was able to learn from positive and negative experiences previously in my career. So I think it's really, I can't stress it enough. I think it's so important to try to figure it out on your own before trying to go out and just play the information game and get, you know, your buddy's best fishing spot.
I think that's a great point. And whether it's, I know, and you even talk about it a little bit in your videos, I've heard just a few mentions of it. Like when you do catch a fish, don't just, you know, be in such a rush to get away, you know, and go back, get back to it. Think about why you caught that fish, where you did, how you did, what movement you were doing, what depth of water you were in, you know, what made that fish bite at that point in time, and then try and repeat it. And if you can repeat it, then you got yourself a pattern and you can kind of work that. And then you can go from there and say, okay, well, now I know what action the fish want. What was the location that I found this fish? And then you look for other locations, repeat that action. And if you, you know, are still catching fish, then you really have that pattern dialed in. And I think that's what makes the difference between, you know, random okay catch anglers who you can catch a fish every now and then to the ones that catch fish consistently all over the place. So
yeah, it's it really, to the point, like I agree 1000% with what you just said, to the point where every time you catch a fish, the next cast should be the exact same cast that you just made to catch that last fish. Like, because so many times fish will be grouped up, you know, two, three, four, five fish together, but they're hanging out by a stump. And, you know, you catch it, you made a random cast, caught a fish off that stump, and then you just go back to casting and you don't even recognize where you just caught that fish from. But there's like three more fish sitting by that stump that are willing to bite your bait. So it literally comes down to just replicating what you just did, but you have to be aware of what you just did to be able to replicate it. And that's what's so important.
Right. And then when you can take those locations and go around, when you know why fishing a ledge is a good spot to find fish at certain times and certain water flows, you know, and why fishing on the upstream side of a boulder on this time of day or whatever makes a difference, then that's when you can really start breaking down any body of water that you go to. You know, it's one thing to know the lake or river that you fish regularly, like the back of your hand, where you just fished it so much that you kind of get to know, you know, when to go where. But when you can take that to a brand new body of water and break it down and actually find fish, it makes you really realize, you know, how far you've come. And that's been a big part of my learning experience. I kind of look back now at you know, when I was first getting started, I'm kind of amazed I caught fish at all, to be honest. But that just shows you that even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, you know, because I did enough to luckily keep me hooked. So, you know, and that's another reason why I like really helping people as much as I can, because I think that's why I didn't start fishing for so long, because I've had a few people when I was younger, a few people take me fishing here or there, and it really wasn't an enjoyable experience for me because we didn't catch a lot of fish. And I made that mistake with my kids at first. I have two daughters, and I was so excited to take them fishing, but I didn't know what I was doing, and then we didn't catch fish and they were bored. So I almost killed that before I got started, you know. And now I feel like I can take them out and you know, put them on fish and help them catch fish, and it's I do a lot better with it. But I definitely almost burned them out with it, you know, when I first got started. So,
yeah, that's, I mean, that's one of the big, I stress this a lot on my channels. That's one of the reasons I do the channel is because, you know, I want people to love the sport that I love. But part of that, you know, the unfortunate part is a lot of times that comes down to catching fish. You know, you can take people out and they can enjoy being on the water and being out. But, you know, if you want them to come back to fishing, you need to have a good, successful day on the water fishing. You know, that's how I look at it. And, you know, and that doesn't mean much. Sometimes that's only catching one fish. You know, if somebody goes out and they catch one fish, they're happy with it. But, you know, if you know, I see the same thing with my two boys when I take them out. You know, the last thing I want to do is force them to fish. But I also know that, like, you see the excitement when they catch a fish, and it could just be a bluegill, but they love it so much that, like, that's how important catching fish is to getting people to come back to the sport of fishing. So if I can help a few people help others catch fish, it's just going to help the sport grow. Because, I mean, that's a big part of it right now for, like, from a tournament perspective. You know, I don't personally feel like the tournament world is a growing area. It's not a growing business. And, you know, for it to grow, we need to have a bigger fan base. We need to have more people in the fishing industry. And the reality is, you know, that's selfishly at the same time kind of trying to help the sport grow. Because I know the more people I can get into the sport, the more potential there is for the sport to grow. So, you know, there's a lot of different facets to it, but it really does come down to just trying to help people catch some fish. Because dude, you take a little kid fishing and watch them catch a fish and you see that smile on their face, and it brings me back to, like, being that little kid. And that's what I love about it.
Absolutely. I was just going to say the same thing. It takes me back to that excitement. And I feel like a 5-year-old, you know, catching his first fish when I catch a big fish, you know, and sharing that enthusiasm and seeing somebody else experience that for the first time or the 100th time, it still, you know, makes me glad to be there. So I'm trying to think. If you were to take someone out fishing, what would be, and you weren't going to use live bait, what would be the bait that you would put in their hands that you think would be? And I know it can vary. Like with my daughters, one of the first things I started them with was a Ned rig, because I feel like if you dead stick a Ned rig, you know, yeah, something's going to pick it up. But I know one of the things I liked about your Ned rig retrieve video is you talked about almost like a slow, steady retrieve on a Ned rig, and that works too. I was surprised when I, you know, that more people don't do that, because I noticed that when I first started doing a Ned rig, and it was almost because I was kind of not patient enough dead sticking. I'd be retrieving it back and I'd catch fish on that retrieve back. And
It was one of the original ways to fish it that Ned Cady came up with. It was to fish it more just as a, I guess you'd call it a swim bait at that point, but not to keep it on the bottom. You wanted to slow reel it close to the bottom, but not on it. And It's a great retrieve. You know, to answer your question, I've got a couple of different baits that I would recommend or I use when I'm doing guide trips. I personally think a small swim bait, like a 2.8 or 3.3, is a killer bait in terms of catching fish. And, you know, depending on the lake you're on, that may mean you're catching crappie, perch, you know, bass, whatever. You catch a lot of fish on it, but it's a super easy bait to use. You give it to a little kid and say, cast it out and reel it back to the boat, they'll catch fish on it. You know, if you're fishing some more what I would call like typical largemouth water, or maybe you're beating the bank, you've got some docks, maybe some scattered pads, some scattered grass, I think a wacky rig is a really tough bait to beat. And then, I mean, the third bait that this sounds a little offbeat, but one of the things I love to give kids is a frog, like a hollow bodied frog.
Okay.
And that's okay. for a couple of reasons. One, if they get bit on it, that's about as much excitement as you can get in the bass fishing world. But
a topwater blow up for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. The second thing really comes down to the weedlessness of it. Where, you know, kids will take it and they're throwing it into bushes. They're throwing it on top of docks. They're throwing it into trees. And you don't get stuck with it that much. I mean, you can get stuck with it, but the reality is you can throw that thing almost anywhere. So it gives, you know, like my boy Hank right now, who's six. I mean, it gives him that kind of that fearlessness in terms of casting it. Because a lot of times people are really timid to cast a bait where they need to cast it. But the reality is if he knows or feels really good that it's not going to get stuck, he's winging that thing everywhere and trying to put it in that little tiny spot. And I think that makes that over time will make him a much better caster. But it just gives him that confidence that, hey, I can put this bait where it needs to be. Now, you know, when he gets bit on it, it's a whole nother story. Cause at that point he's a 6-year old trying to pull a fish in on a frog. But, I do think that the frog is a really good bait to get a beginner hooked on fishing.
That's interesting. I don't know that I would have ever guessed that, but, hearing you explain it, that makes perfect sense. I know I actually did kind of give my daughters a wacky rig as well. Cause that was one of my first confidence baits as well. Cause that's kind of, relatively easy to use for the most part. Once you explain what to do I joked with my daughter the first couple of times I took her out. I'm like, now you're not going to catch fish in the trees, because we hung a lot of wacky rigs in the trees. Cause we were fishing close to the bank and, you know, I was like, no, you got to get closer to the bank. But and echoing what you said about not getting stuck, that was one of the things I did wrong for a lot of, when I first got started, is I didn't like getting snagged. So I would not cast as close as I needed to certain structure, because I was afraid of that. I was like, well, I don't want to lose this brand new crankbait I just tied on, so I'm going to just cast over here, even though the laydown's over there. I'll get somewhat close to it. But and it wasn't until I kind of got over that fear of losing baits. And I think that, you know, that's a great way to teach somebody that, if it give them something that they will, you know, have better odds of getting back, or, you know, be able to throw into some kind of more nasty stuff and still get it back relatively easily.
And that would be one of the tips I would give out to new anglers too. And I get comments all the time on the YouTube channel about, you know, like on those retrieve videos, guys will be like, well, that all I'm going to do is get stuck with that retrieve on my lake. And I'm like, yeah, they're looking at it as such a negative. And I'm looking at it going, that's what you need to be doing, because that's where the fish live. So if you're not getting stuck, you're probably not putting your bait in the correct place the majority of the time. And it, you know, I believe me, getting stuck can be frustrating at any level for, you know, any level angler. But the reality is a lot of times you have to be putting your bait, you know, next to that lay down, you know, getting stuck in a brush pile, getting stuck in the rocks, whatever it is. That's where the fish live. And, you know, like I mentioned before, about a lot of times you want to create that deflection off of an object to create that reaction strike. Well, if you're casting out, bringing your bait back, and you're not hitting an object, you don't get a deflection on that retrieve. So you're lowering the odds of getting bit on each cast. So, you know, the unfortunate part is, yeah, you may have some headaches of getting stuck, but the reality is if you're not getting stuck, you're not probably putting your bait where it needs to be. And, you know, you can, you know, if you're throwing crankbaits out and, you know, you've got a lure retriever, you can probably get back the majority of those crankbaits. It's a pain in the butt, but you can get them all back. And, you know, it's just one of those things. Again, I think the reality is for a lot of, newer anglers or anglers that don't fish that much, the headache of getting stuck deters them from fishing. But the reality is there's nothing wrong with getting stuck.
Right. That means you're more than likely where you need to be.
Yeah.
Or at least in the ballpark. So, I definitely understand. Cause you know, the first couple of times where I lost a jackhammer and I'm like, oh man, there goes $15, you know?
Well, that's like throwing a jerkbait up here around my house. So you have a $25 mega bass tied on and you get into a pile of northern pike and you're...
I was just going to say pike will grab pike. Them.
Yeah, down $100 real fast.
Yep. I still remember that, probably, I think it was the second or third time I fished a mega bass Fission 110. And I had I want to say it was a pike broke me off, and I saw it jump one time and then it was gone, and I'm like, man, that hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
But you know, it I'm like, well, if it bit it, you know, I was doing something right. So
yeah, I mean, that's part of the game. You know, that's the unfortunate part about it, but the reality is they make more baits every day, and some outings are a little bit more expensive than others. But if you're not, no. You know, if your goal is to catch fish, you probably need to be getting stuck more than you actually are.
Right. No, I agree with that sentiment 100%. So, all right, man. Well, again, we're getting close to an hour. We're at like 50 minutes, but I wanted to give you a chance to kind of give a shout out. I know you do a lot of cool stuff too. How did you get involved with the Fish the Moment guys? I mean, that's a channel I've watched for a while, and I know that they do the lake breakdowns and stuff. Was that something that you were there with from the beginning, or how did you get involved with that?
No, that's kind of through the Bridgeford relationship. Bridgeford sponsors Randy Blockett, and then they sponsor Fish the Moment as well. And kind of through that relationship, I was able to be introduced to Johnny Schultz, and, you know, we have a very good relationship at this point. He is a phenomenal angler, and I've learned a lot from Johnny, but the reality is I think we clicked quite a bit because he's a really good teacher of the sport, and that's something mm-hmm. that I just enjoy as well. And you know, that opened up some opportunities to be doing things like lake breakdowns and being on his podcast and just doing a bunch of different things. But yeah, we've got a great relationship. There'll probably be a lot more of me coming through on some of his stuff over there, you know, being more involved with the podcast and doing some other types of things that are, I'd like to say they'll be rolling out coming down the pipeline real soon, but it may still be a little bit out into the future. But it's just a channel that I love working with, and it's, you know, that's one thing about YouTube that I'll say is it's nice to be able to bounce ideas for videos, bounce ideas for, you know, how to help grow the channel, all these different things. You know, it really is it's a lonely world out there, right? So it's kind of nice to meet other people that are in the same situation to discuss topics and just kind of videos and all of that. But Johnny's been a great help to my personal YouTube channel, and I'm looking forward to working with him a lot in the future.
Well, I got to say, between Johnny, you, and Randy, if there's something you don't know about fishing, odds are you're going to find it on one of your three channels, because you guys all put out, both of those guys are guys that I would have been, I did talk to Randy a little bit about coming on. I haven't been able to put it together yet to have him on the show. And Johnny's been a little more elusive for me, but, you know, definitely I would love to have both of them on here at some point. So
we'll see if we can make that happen for you.
Awesome. I totally appreciate that, because, you know, between the three of you, like I said, the amount of fish knowledge that you guys have collectively is, yeah, it's an encyclopedia worth of information. So
it's funny. We actually we got together. What was it, 3 weeks ago at this point? And it's you know, Randy's been around in the sport for so long. And I know he ruffles a lot of feathers, but the reality is he's like one of the most genuine, nice people like in the fishing industry. And, you know, Johnny's, you know, the younger kid, but he kind of comes across as being a lot older than he actually is. But you sit down in a room with those guys, and it's like there's so many fish stories and so many discussions on techniques and strategies and patterns that it's almost to the point where, like, you know, I think the first night we got together, we stayed up way too late. And it was just like everyone at the end of it had a headache, because it's like there's so much information that it was just kind of like just complete overkill. But yeah, it is pretty, I both those guys, I really enjoy.
Well, cool, man. Well, why don't you let the folks know where they can find you and your content? And, I know you also have, on your channel, you have the ability to become a, what is, I forget what, a Patreon. Is that the word?
I've got a members only page, I guess.
Members only. That's content. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if people want to come check my channel out, it's just Matt Stephan Fishing. It's the same for Facebook and Instagram and all of that other stuff as well. YouTube is where I put most of my effort and content up. But it's just given me a good platform to help build my brand, represent some sponsors, share a bunch of fishing information. And it's a bunch of what I really like to do. If people want to reach out to me in other forms, they can go to mattstephanfishing.com and find out more about me and tournament results and look to see what I'm fishing. But at this point, YouTube is where most of my effort's going.
Okay. And I wanted to give you a chance too to shout out sponsors. I know you mentioned Bridgeford already, and go ahead and lay those out too.
Yeah. I mean, well, Bridgeford Foods is my primary sponsor. I'd recommend that if anyone's looking for a good meat product, which are great to have in the boat because they are, you know, temperature safe and you can kind of store them in your boat for a long period of time if you want. But I always am a big fan of supporting the companies that support the fishing industry, and Bridgeford Foods is a huge supporter of the fishing world and the outdoor world. So I would check them out for sure. You know, some of my other sponsors are Berkeley, Abu Garcia, Striker Brands, which is a clothing brand. They make great warm weather, cold weather gear, Dirty Jigs, Yugoware, who makes waterproof phone cases that float. So that's a huge thing. You know, Skeeter Boats, Power Pole, TH Marine, Lowrance Electronics, Battleborne Batteries. Like, I got a pile of companies that I'm sure I forgot some. I absolutely love all of them. And all of the companies I work with make products that I 100% use and fully believe in.
Awesome. Well, after we're done with the show, I'll get a list of those sponsors and we'll include them in the show notes. That way we don't miss anybody. But Matt, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. You taking the time to come on the show tonight. I think you gave a ton of great info, and anything that folks didn't get from this show and still want to find out, go check out your channel, because the amount of information there is great. And like I said, it's really intuitive how to follow it. And you know, it is easy to find. You know, once you find one video, you can kind of look and tell just by the thumbnail, like you said, and really track down those retrieve videos. And I think those were like what drew me to you right away. So for the listeners, I definitely want to encourage them to check those out. If you're at all curious about different retrieves for different techniques, because again, I think those are really good. So,
well, thanks, Sean. I appreciate you having me on. Anytime you want to have me on in the future, I'd be more than happy to make it work out.
Awesome, man. Maybe we can find some specific technique stuff later on. I'm always I usually do try and do one technique a show, but this one was kind of like just to cover all the bases. But if I ever need to break one in particular down, maybe I'll look you up. All right.
Sounds good to me.
All right, man. Well, guys, thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Bass Fishing for Noobs. We'll be back next week with more content. But for now, thanks for checking in, where we bring you the techniques, the tricks, and the tips to help you rip more lips. You guys have a good night.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures, your Midwest premier paddle sports destination. Go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.